Dead Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Joining me this week is my co-host, Mamat. Mamat, say what's up to the people.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. That's it. That's all you get. Speechless, right? I know. I am that good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Fly me to the moon.
Wow.
And let me play among the stars. Really?
Yep.
You want to play that game with one of my favorite songs? I don't think so.
We got Sinatra here, man. Shannon Sinatra.
Love Sinatra. If I was alive back in the day, I definitely would have been part of the Rat Pack. So for those of you who couldn't figure out what the hell we were talking about this week, and this was a stretch for you, by the way, we are reviewing Tsukimichi Moonlit Fantasy, which is why I'm guessing you were singing Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah.
Really had stress for that one, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, before we get into that, we have the question of the week, and I wanted to pull something different. I want to get back to actual questions. So this week's question, I decided to pull from Reddit, from r/anime, and I found this one to be interesting. It's, which anime would be better off without the main character? And I struggled with this one a bit, so I want to see what you got to say, Mamats. So let's get into it. What anime do you think would be better off without the MC?
The formula is simple, Shannon, you know? You just pick the most hated character in your top rosters and pair it with the anime that you like, you know? It is that simple.
Wait, what?
So for me, I like Excel World, but I hated the main character so much. So go F the main character of the Excel World.
Ouch. See, I was going for actual reasons, bro.
That is reason enough. That is actual reason.
That is not reason enough. Mine is an actual reason. No. And this is going to be a very short question because there's only two of us here, so there's not a lot to go over. The answer for me, and this is going to hurt me and I hurt a lot of the anime fan, a lot of anime community. The answer for me is Dragon Ball, the Dragon Ball series.
So you want to remove Goku from the whole show?
The reason, yes, but the reason is important. The reason is important. Goku is the cause of pretty much all the problems the Dragon Ball world has. If Goku never came to Earth, Red Ribbon Army aside, none of the big bads would have come to Earth with the exception of Boo. Nobody. Came to Earth. So Piccolo was already chilling there. But Piccolo could have gotten taken out by somebody else. Master Roshi, Krillin, Tien, Chiaotzu, somebody else. Hell, what's his name from the Red Ribbon Army? Maybe could have taken him out.
What? Dragon Ball without Goku, it wouldn't be Dragon Ball at all.
Right, but I'm not going based on would it be a better show or would I like the show more. I'm going purely off of how it would affect the world at large. Because without Goku, Raditz never comes to Earth. Raditz never comes to Earth means Vegeta never comes to Earth. Vegeta never comes to Earth means that Frieza never gets involved with the Earth. Frieza never gets involved with the Earth. That means that that stops there. That also means no androids. The android saga doesn't happen because Jiro never got into it with Goku, meaning that he never saw the kind of power that he could try that to replicate. Also means that there's no Cell. Majin Buu is tricky. He may or may not have been freed if Goku never went to Earth. Then pretty much Super never happens at all. Beerus never woke up. None of that shit goes down. Pilaf probably would have found all the Dragon Balls, made the whole world his bitch. But none of, like, all the big, bad, evil guys who could destroy the planet with a single thought would ever have any reason to look at Earth.
Yeah. But
with the exception of maybe Dragon Frieza Ball coming back to buy the Earth.
Won't be existed, you know?
I wasn't going off would it be a better show. I was purely going off of what would be better for the world at large.
Well, at large. You should have changed the question, though. Not for the good of the anime, but the world of the anime itself. Oh my. If so, there's so much anime that, yeah, like Eren, right? Remove Eren from Attack on Titan and the whole season 4 or the final episode doesn't exist, I guess.
Possibly.
Yeah, right? It ended with season 3 and everyone is happy, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And Saitama from One Punch Man. Just remove Saitama from the whole thing and the world is like destroyed.
No. Because, yeah, the world be destroyed.
Yeah.
That's not better for the world.
I mean, the world is already like suffering. So why not just destroy all of them, right? Destroy everything. So it will end the suffering.
That's your call to make, sir.
Yeah. It is like a Thanos decision, you know? Just remove half of the world and everyone will be happy, you know? But anyways, if you guys have any say on this question, you can always hit us up on the interweb. Again, people find us on the interweb, shall we?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast, or shoot us an email at shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we would like to hear what you will say about this weird-ass question. Yeah, we would like to hear from you guys. So let's move on from this weird shit, man.
All right. So we're going back to the main topic of today's show, and that is Tsukichi.
Tsukimichi.
Moonlit Fantasy. Tsukimichi. Not Tsukichi. Tsukimichi. Moonlit Fantasy. The synopsis for this one comes from mindless.net, and it goes like this. As part of a mysterious contract agreed upon by a goddess and his parents years ago, Makoto Misumi finds himself sent to another world to meet the goddess and become the hero. However, the deity deems Makoto to be hideous, refusing to even lay eyes upon him, and revokes his heroic title, disdainfully giving him the ability to understand all languages except the human language as compensation. The goddess drives Makoto off to the farthest edges of the wasteland, far from human civilization. Due to the disparity between Earth and this new world, Makoto's inherent physical and magical capabilities awaken, making him extremely powerful. He meets various demi-humans and mythical beings who all end up being captivated with his characteristics and join Makoto in building a new community where all of them can peacefully coexist. Nevertheless, despite his success, Makoto still yearns to meet fellow humans. In a world where the goddess herself has barred him from interacting with his kind, it is up to Makoto and his companion to fulfill his desire and perhaps reform society along the way. That is the synopsis for Tsukimichi. Is that right? Moonlit Fantasy from MayaMillis.net.
Mm-hmm.
So, scores and slogans. Mamatsu, what do you rate the show?
I will give it like 5.5 or maybe a 6. And my slogan for it is just another typical isekai tropes.
Wow, you're hating on this one, huh?
Not hate, but I'm getting tired of it.
Alright. I honestly gave this one about a 6.5, 7.
Alright.
The reason being, well, we'll get into that part after. Slogan is, no one can define you. You're defined by what you do.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Okay. right?
Yeah.
So that is pretty high from your end.
It is, but I'll tell you why. I like to, one, it what I let me form a thought before I slip my mouth, just keep stuttering.
Okay.
So you asked me last week, was this another isekai?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know.
You don't know.
The reason I said I don't know is because technically it's not.
How come it is not?
He is not a character who is transported to a world other than his own. Technically, he went back to his home world.
That is a really like roundabout ways to describe the whole situation. Yeah, in a way, maybe.
It's not, but that's what happened. He's from this world originally. This world is where his family is from. So he technically went to his home world. Isekai, you get transported to a different world, but usually it's a world that's not your own. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said it is, but it's not at the same time. So I appreciated that aspect a little bit. Two, I really appreciated the humor in the show. There was some great comedy in here that it's been missing. We've been missing some good comedy lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that he's not really forming a harem so much as he has two sidekicks and that's it. The orc girl doesn't really count because she's not usually there. But he's got the spider girl and the dragon girl, and that's pretty much it at this point. So he's not really forming a full-on harem. He's just kind of like, I'm just trying to do shit. I'm just trying to survive. And yes. It's not even him who's picking up chicks.
No, the dragon just followed him around. The spider, like, after tasting his blood, I guess, start to take a liking to him. And the others is just there. Mm.
They're just looking for a place to live and thrive.
And so, the dragon just doing her job, inviting people into the demiplane and starts to...
Well, not her job, it's the job that she gave herself.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Other than that, the whole show is just an open book, just an introduction into this world and this.
Right. This is, and I love the episodes are actually titled like day one, day two, day three, or night three, night two, night four. So it's actually telling you, it's like, this is how long I've been here and this is what's happened so far.
Yeah.
So I honestly, I like the way the storytelling is going. I enjoy it. Yes, he's an OP character. Absolutely.
I don't mind that at all. But we only have 3 major fights in here that he really, really involves in. Other than that, it's just like the typical world building. He's trying to become a merchant and solving the community's problem in a way. I think they don't even know where they are headed with the show at this point. And after 2 years of the show airing, we still don't even see like season 2 of this. That is the proof that they don't even know, or this show doesn't get enough credit, or it is super underrated maybe, or maybe it is not popular with the community so far. Because
That's all valid. But
mm-hmm.
for me, it was more about I want to start seeing some stuff that's outside of the norm,
mm-hmm.
branching out from just like whatever it's got, whatever is riding the hype train. So, and this one definitely, it was definitely good.
Yeah, it was not bad.
Perfect.
It is not bad. The battle, when they have a battle, like the last battle with the Sofia Bulga or something like that. I think those whole battle is super great. It really shows that how strong he can be. And how strong the human at level, like what, 960, if I recall correctly, can become with the help of the Sidekick Dragon as well. I love that part of the show. Other than that, he's untouchable. And he start trying to survive with whatever it means that he choose. Try to become a merchant or adventurer. I don't know. I know what his goal is right now. He's trying to set one
goal,
up.
His goal is more to... His goal is basically just to set up the town and to basically just to try to live some semblance of a normal life. But he knows in order for... He's now responsible for protecting everyone there. In order to do that, he needs to make a way for them to get commerce and to be stronger to fight and protect them and all that kind of stuff. So it all rolls back into protecting the town. Side note, the thing he doesn't want to do at first. Right. Season 2 airs in January.
Finally, after like 3 years?
2 years. It came out in September 2021.
Okay. All right. That's good to hear, I guess. So,
yeah. Now, but the thing for me that put the show kind of over the top, because it was kind of just like a basic... It could have been a basic, simple isekai, quote unquote, that was just kind of, had nothing really going for it other than the comedy. The change happened when he went dark. When someone hurt his friends, he became an entirely different person.
I mean, that is out of nowhere.
Complete demeanor change. It wasn't out of nowhere, though. It happened because they killed the orc. When they killed that orc, the one that had such high praise for him, that's when he's like, "You killed." Hold on, I need the character's name. Tomoe's fragment.
Yeah.
Well, no, the young orc. The child. You killed Tomoe's fragment.
The young Tomoe.
Yeah, the child version of Tomoe. When he killed them, and he's like, "You almost killed another orc, a little orc girl. You wounded one of the, what do they call them? The spider people. Okay. You wounded one of the Alke. And he's like, you harmed my people. That was the trigger. That wasn't out of nowhere. He basically hit that point where he's like, there's no point in me being kind to you. All I want is vengeance. So when he lashed out and I love the fact he didn't like just nuke the town. He just basically, he cut off her hands, knelt down, looked at her, and just slowly just stabbed her in the throat. And then just slowly pulled the knife out. And that was it. It wasn't some big grandiose gesture. It was the simple, I want to look you in the eyes as you die for what you did to them.
Mm-hmm.
That scene was amazing.
Yep.
The closest we got to something that intense was with Slime.
Yeah.
When they killed half of Rimuru's town. But we didn't get that same level of intensity. We got Rimuru going on a killing spree. But it was very indiscriminate, very impersonal, just widespread destruction. This was so simple, so close.
I guess this is so personal. It was on a whole
other level.
This is so personal.
Right.
Yeah.
It was but not even just that it was personal. It was the way that they shot, the way that they drew it and animated the scene. Everything was just so like, I was stuck still watching this scene. So
the way that stuff
is what changed it.
Oh yeah,
when she came through that strike, he just like literally just arm up, and all of a sudden you just see her hands gone, and then tumble in the ground, like tumble into the foreground, and it's just like, oh shit, we about to get real, okay? it was so good, it was so good. That's why this show gets high ranks for me, because Yes, it's silly. Yes, the character's OP, but it's the emotion that comes into the show. We're seeing him with the viciousness that he has because of what he's seen in the past. It's just so good. So for me, it's like, yes, the show has some ground to make up because it is starting from a very simplistic place, but it's shown that it can make up that space. And I want to see more of it in season two.
Yeah, I guess that scene is the turning point for him to know the truth about the world. I guess it is the same thing over and over again, the discrimination against the races in this world. Yeah, it is a simple premise. But like you said, let's see how they ride this rain and see how it goes in the later season. Because in the later season, like I said, if they make this an open book, he and the skeleton dude.
Yeah, the lich.
The lich is going on a journey to a different town, right? To set up or something.
They're going to a school.
Yeah. I think
they're going to a school so he can learn magic.
This journey will become the turning point of the show, or the true reason why he is there and try to build this world out of all of the other races and try to fight the goddess, I guess. Not the human themselves, but the what do you call it? Like really twisted goddess, I guess.
Honestly, I don't think it's gonna be the goddess. I think it's gonna be the demons first.
Demon first.
Yeah, because the demons are actively trying to destroy the humans. So yes. And that's why the goddess summoned him, was to interact on her behalf. So I think that that's going to come first. And once they resolve that, then we're going to see if he's going to go up against the goddess or not, or if he's just going to settle into the simple life that he's trying to forge.
Yeah, yeah, probably. I mean, from the looks of it, even in the human races, they have like two factions, the one that follow goddesses and the one that follow demons, I guess. And the one that he fought follow the demon faction, I guess. And the goddess just...
Yeah, the two that he fought to join the demon faction.
Go there and fight this human. Unwillingly. Oh, wow. Wow, the goddess, man. Okay. Great. All right. Yeah, it is not bad. But at this point, because we have watched so many, it's a guy with this kind of tropes, I start to get tired of it. And I start to like...
Yeah, but to be fair, how many slice of lives have you watched with the same tropes?
Yeah, but I don't watch slice of life that much anymore. And we watch isekai so much now. It's become a problem.
Because there's so many of them.
Yes. Yes, right. That is one other reason why I start to get tired of it. Like more than half of the new releases is isekai. And for the better or for the worse, we cannot avoid it, you know? And yeah. It is a me problem, not the show's problem. This is what happens when you watch too many anime, man. You will encounter this problem and you start getting tired of it, you know? Yeah, I hate it myself, you know? And yeah, what can I do? What can I do? I try to enjoy them as much as I can. But yeah, like I said, it is not like the show is bad. I like the show. I like the characters. Some of the bits is okay. Some of the bits is just too much. They are really trying to push the comedy too much in some ways. Other than that, it's okay. It's an okay show. Memorable scene, I guess Shannon has said. The one that he liked. And I like that scene too. Other than that, I like the final battle. The final battle is awesome. It is so the power skill or the fire or the fighting skill or the choreography of it is so vast and so varied, and it is not boring at all. It is not like the same you use the devour or just steal the stolen power trope that we see from other creators. It is so different now. Right. This dude cannot use like a proper magic. He is not a master at it. At least he knows the basic one. There's so much that he can learn from his OP skill, and he managed to fight like a very powerful demon and spider too, even though like he barely managed to survive the whole thing, right? He could have died there after fighting the spider, in my opinion, but the spider give up and just want to follow him around, I guess. So he is OP, but he is not immortal, you know? There is still a limit of what he can do. And he cannot heal himself. That's the thing. Yeah, if he died, he died. That is what the other god said to him. If you die, you die, you know? And there's put that kind of put like a high stake towards everything that he does in here. So, yeah. So let's talk about characters for a bit here. Favorite characters, man. You are like Dragon Opai. Do you like the dragon in here?
Actually, no. The dragon got on my damn nerves.
Right?
It got on my nerves so bad.
The dragon tried to become a samurai. Stop it. Stop with the tropes. So who's your favorite, my man?
Honestly, I guess I kind of got to go with Neo. If I'm going for waifu.
Yes.
Favorite character overall? I mean, overall, I didn't really have a set character that I was like, no, this is my favorite character out of everybody.
Mm-hmm. I like the Tomoe's fragment, the chibi version of Tomoe. She died though, and we got a new one.
Yeah.
And it is not going to be the same, because what Tomoe said is that every fragment it has their own personality too. So yeah, that one is die. It's already dead. So there's no replacement for that one. Too bad. Yeah, the other characters, not really much to say, I guess. Nothing. Least favorite one, man.
I'm gonna go with the dragon. I'm going with Chun Li.
You could be dead one, huh?
It was just boring, annoying. I mean,
annoying. All right. Least favorite one for me. I don't like the goddess though. I mean, yeah, we see so little of her, but from the looks of it, she has a very twisted character or personality, I guess. Like the main character said, I want to punch her so. So hard that, yeah. What's the deal with the goddess, though? I want to know now. Yeah, everyone is so friendly. Nobody really, stood up too much in here, other than the main character. So, you said the comedy is great in here, right? So, what is the example for that one?
Okay, so when the girls destroy the town, like when they're having their stupid argument, Instead of just doing like the standard, just bonk on the head, he literally ties them up. Like he makes Mio produce silk for him, then ties them up using that silk, pulls an arrow, ties the string to the silk to the arrow, and launches them using the bow and arrow as punishment for destroying the town. That was funny. Mm-hmm. And it's unique. That's not something we've seen before. We've all seen like the classic hit on the head with the lump. And no, this was a fun, interesting way for them to get punished for being stupid. I liked that. That was hilarious to me.
All right. For me though, what I like is the blacksmith, or what, the dwarf, I guess, who makes the gear for him to suppress the mana and stuff. Every time he created one, he said, if they broke, I will make something more powerful that can kill you next time.
He was like, I'll make something that will kill you for sure next time.
Yep.
He's like, I don't think you understand the assignment, sir.
I will make sure that thing will kill you next time. Oh my god. All right. That is some of the bit that really, really stood up to be at this. Other than that, the dragon trying to be funny is not really funny. I think they really pushed that kind of trope too much. Stop becoming the samurai and historical stuff. Stop it. I hate it. Yeah. So I guess that's it. There's not much to talk about the show. It's an okay show. It's a good isekai. I don't think there's really nothing that can differentiate this show to other isekai for now. Like Shannon said, there's a season 2 coming out in January. So we will look forward for that one. There's so much isekai that we need to watch the second season of, you know. Like Kuma 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 Bear. We haven't watched that one yet.
Do we have to?
I don't know. It's a fun one. I enjoy that one too. So
maybe it was.
And there's a what do you call it? I Kill Slime for 300 Years one. There's a season 2 of that too.
Oh yeah, and just like 300 years and maxed out my level or something like that.
Yeah, that one is great too. So, yeah, there's so much good isekai that uses the kind of like the same tropes that we need to watch the sequel of. Maybe someday we will do like a sequel month again, but this time it involves all the isekai that we miss. Maybe, who knows. Sequel is a Kaiman, man. Let's go. So I guess that's it. I will recommend the show to other people if they like isekai stuff. They don't get bored of it yet. It's an okay show. Like I said, they use the same trope all over again. That is my problem, but not yours. Shannon, any last word for the show?
Highly recommend. Even if you've seen a ton of isekai, there's still something new in here that it's fun to watch.
All right. So I guess that's it. That is the end of our review of Tsukimichi, A Moonlit Fantasy. If you like what you heard here, please give us a like, give us a follow, and give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen to this podcast on. So enough with the isekai stuff. For our Fungi fam, next week, I decided for us to watch JJK Season 2, man. Let's go. Let's go.
Over here, we're riding the hype train.
Let's see how it goes with the Jujutsu Kaisen train. I hope it's getting good. I really hope so, man. I really love this show. I really love the Yuji character with the muscular guy. I love that combo pair. And also the panda. So that is for the next week. If you have any comment or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on the internet. Where can people find us on the internet, Shannon?
You can always find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcasts, or shoot us an email at shiitakepodcasts@gmail.com.
All right. So with that being said, let's end the podcast like usual. So even in Isekai, they are getting tired of the same trope of getting hit by a truckoon and die and transferred to another world. And they try to do something else with that. So I guess that's okay. But in the end, try to be safe out there and please don't die.
You know, when you're isekai to your home world and gain followers of a dragon lady and a giant spider chick, you can find some time for opa.
Yeah, they don't really emphasize the fan service in here, right?
They didn't, which is another reason it's good.
Yeah.
They didn't force it.
Most of them are wearing like a samurai or like a kimono.
Yeah, they're so, fully covered and like very, they're still like
very modest traditional
still
Japanese
drawn, one. But there's the yeah, but it's not like
yeah. All right, you stop right there. You just suddenly stop right there. Wow, right. Let's end the podcast like usual, man. Shiitake.